May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a kindergarten teacher had sent home a note to the parents of all of her students the first day of school, and it stated, "Dear parents, if you promise not to believe everything that your child says happened at school, I promise not to believe everything your child says happened at home." That must have taken a lot of faith and humility from that teacher. Well, for the next few weeks, Jesus instructs us in those aspects of our character that are developed in a sincere and dedicated life of prayer. And today we see our Lord discussing faith and humility. Bold trust and a servant's heart are both a byproduct of prayer as well as a quality of character that makes our prayers more effective. Yet, they seem almost contradictory. The way that Jesus stacks these two word pictures in our gospel today, and these concepts, putting them back to back. If we consider the imagery of a bold, almost presumptive picture of faith and commanding major landscaping changes without the aid of a backhoe, and then follow it with the imagery of some unassuming manservant or maidservant, well, it's easy to think that the Lord is talking out of two sides of his mouth. Is Jesus asking us to be both type A and type B personalities at the same time? Is he instituting some kind of schizoid approach to our daily devotions? Well, hopefully you've encountered Jesus in the Bible and in daily life enough to know that this isn't exactly where he's coming from. In the first parable, Christ admonishes an attitude of trust in the power of God that is full of conviction. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we may ask or think. And so Jesus commends us to trust God fervently, even to the degree that we would be willing to ask for the seemingly outrageous or superhuman, like transplanting a tree from our backyard to somewhere in the middle of the Yucatan. We trust God for who he is, the Almighty. But it's a trust that's tempered with the recognition of who we are before God as well. We are not the ones in control. Compared to God, we are mere slaves. And to expect the Almighty to cater to the whims of a mere mortal is the height of hubris. That's why to pray that God might address a particular situation is one thing, but to demand God to answer it with a solution of our choosing, quite another. God is God. God is going to do what God wants to do, whether it fits our taste or not. What's more, the context seems to indicate a humility that's borne out not merely in attitude, but in action. When Jesus concludes, "So also when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves, we have only done what we ought to have done,'" he implies we are listening to God and heeding his commands. Within the context of prayer, that means we should expect prayer to be a conversation, one in which we can expect to speak for God to speak to us, primarily and authoritatively through the words of Scripture, and we can speak to God, knowing he not merely knows all and is able to do all, but he loves all and accomplishes his good and perfect will from a heart of compassion. So we trust our all-knowing, all-powerful, all-benevolent Creator with the kind of conviction about who he is that we can ask for anything, but we also come with an attitude about who we are as mere mortals that tempers what we ask to comply with God's desires and God's direction. And when taken together, we no longer see some split personality approach to prayer. Instead, we recognize the balance Jesus wants us to have. Faith enough to trust and ask God for anything, but humility enough to listen and find out what's on God's mind. In the light of the faith Jesus requires, do you have conviction in the power, wisdom, and love of God so that you pray boldly? Do you ask for less but secretly expect more? Do you think God is unable to accomplish great things? Do you think he's unwilling? What barriers stand in the way of your trusting our loving Lord for the supernatural, the amazing, maybe even the seemingly ridiculous? In light of the humility that Christ requires, have you presumed on God's goodness without praying? Have you asked for a specific answer to prayer that, though bold in terms of faith, is unloving, unkind, or misguided in the outcome that's being asked? Have you tested God with an unfair or merely human demand that doesn't account for the big picture? Have you simply taken time to read the Bible and be silent before God to allow His Spirit to speak to you? Have you expected God to do things for you but been unfaithful in what little He's asked of you? These are probing, hard questions to ask of ourselves. But they are the kinds of questions we need to ask of ourselves, perhaps even of each other, in light of Jesus' teaching about faith and humility. It's not just about me and Jesus. Being a child of God is a family business. We live life together. And don't forget, if you find the Holy Spirit putting His finger on an area in your life, the reason is to help you, not to condemn you. Jesus wants us to trust and heed the triune lover of our souls. My hope is that we might pray daily, have more faith in who God is, and have a more chastened view of who we are before Him, and a more obedient response to the leading of His Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O God, by whom the meek are guided in judgment, and the light rises up in darkness for the godly, grant us in all our doubts and uncertainties the grace to ask what you would have us do, that the Spirit of wisdom may save us from all false choices, that in your light we may see light, and in your straight path we may not stumble. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.